Joining me in studio right now, though, to talk a little soccer is the head coach of Canada's national men's soccer team. It is John Herdman. A big game coming up on October the 16th, John, at BMO Field. Canada versus Dominica in CONCACAF Nations League qualifying. Go to canadasoccer.com for tickets and more info. I'm not going to lie, I never heard of Dominica. I had to look it up on Wikipedia, and I noticed that it's a place, according to Wikipedia, it's a Caribbean island nation with natural hot springs and tropical rainforest. That would be great right now at this time of the year, considering the weather that we have here in Toronto. That would be nice to be able to go to a tropical place. I know the game's at BMO Field, so you're not going there to Dominica, but I'm curious, like, when you're scouting these countries and these teams, like, how in-depth are you getting into I'm not saying you're looking up tropical rainforest, but as far as the team goes, like, what kind of things are you looking at?
Well, I think the good news for us is that the Nations League is making sure these teams are playing more regularly. So you actually can get some footage on them. When we were preparing for USVI, they hadn't played
right, like
since 2015 or something.
Yeah.
So you're predicting what a lineup could be. So I think when you're coming into these matches, it's about putting more attention on you, your team, yourself, your identity, and more about what you want to achieve out of that match. And then you have to take the opponent for what it's going to be. You anticipate it's going to be a defensive block, typically, that they'll camp out in front of their own goal
and
make it difficult for us. So scouting's tough on this, but at the end of the day, we know Canada's played them. We only beat them 2-0 in their place the last time we played, and we beat them actually 4-0 at BMO Field the last time they were here.
Now, one of the big headlines coming into this one is the six teenagers that are going to be selected for this team. And we were just chatting before you came on here about the future of this national men's soccer team and some of the youth. Of course, Alphonso Davies being the headliner, but Balu Tabla is a guy that's going to be playing for Canada very soon. And, you know, I was saying to you that during the World Cup, I was watching this video of some of the older England players and talking about, you know, the success that the English team was having at the World Cup, and saying that one of the things that they thought was big was that, you know, all these youngsters that were starring on that team, you know, came up together through the youth ranks, and they've known each other for so many years that the chemistry, once they get on the pitch together, even though they play for all these different club teams, is still there because, you know, they've grown up together. How big is that for you to be able to get these guys at such a young age and have them grow together and move forward together and be a big part of what you want to do?
Yeah, I think that's what you're talking about, that chemistry there. There's something about, you know, safety in numbers in a culture. So if you're in a culture that's very established and, you know, you're the only young player that's sort of breaking through at a specific time, it's not easy. And what we've, I guess, enabled in this culture is to create a subculture with these young guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're the guys that are on FIFA having their tournaments. I think Jonathan David's the king of FIFA at the minute. You know, that's I think, helping them to perform at the level that they were performing, but train at the level that they're training at as well. So little mistakes probably wash off their backs a bit quicker.
Right.
And I think from what I've seen is they're bonding with the senior players way quicker. Again, I just say it's more like a safety in numbers. And I've always believed in youth players. I think when you look at some players' careers, Ryan Giggs, Michael Owen, you know, these guys had their best years from the ages of sort of 17 to 21.
Yeah.
And I think people underestimate how powerful young players can be in an environment.
So what kind of balance do you have to go with here with, you know, wanting to get these young guys an opportunity, but also, you know, I think I saw a quote from you, you still want to respect the shirt. You want to be able to field a team out there that will do this country proud. So you've got, obviously, of course, some veterans on your team. You've got these young guys. How do you figure out, you know, what kind of team you're going to field coming up on October the 16th?
Well, look, it's performance-based. It's that clear. You know, I remember Liam Miller came into the camp in Mercia as an 18-year-old. And he absolutely carved it up. We had David Edgar every session encouraging him. You know, you had a veteran player there that was really smart in making sure that, you know, Liam could get the best out of himself. And he did. He was outstanding. He earned the right to play. And then when he came on the field, he was one of our most effective players. So this isn't about looking at young players and saying, let's give these young guys experience. They have to earn that experience. Because if they don't, it's not real for them.
Right.
And it's not real for the culture either. So I think the guys that have been in there have recognized that these young players deserve to be on the field, and they're given that responsibility because they're earning it in training. They're earning it with their professionalism off the field, with what they're contributing to the culture. So, you know, there's no free shirts. I think people know that. Now, yeah. I know I've got to captain some players as well, and right. I think that always comes into your considerations. But, you know, if a guy's not, you know, being a role model off the field and living the values of our culture above the line, then he ain't playing, whether I've got a cap tie him or not. If he's, you know, not delivering on the field, the players won't tolerate that. So we'll make sure the right players are on the field for this match. We know exactly what we want out of this game, and we're going to go and get it.
John Herdman, head coach, Canadian men's national soccer team, joining us here in studio. I'm Rob Wong here on the Jeff Blair Show. And, you know, I mentioned Alphonso Davies, of course, the headliner, and what a big summer it was for him. He's heading to Bayern Munich, of course, next year. And we saw some of the highlight reel plays he had at Vancouver. And in the time that you've spent with him, the time that you've been able to have with him, you know, what stands out about him, whether it's on the field or off the field, about such a young guy who's clearly got a bright future ahead of him?
I think humble, honest human. But a genuine passion for the game. And, you know, I just love how he plays with a smile on his face. I hope he never loses that.
Yeah.
You know, if he can maintain that, that to me is his X factor, that he loves to get on the ball, he loves to dribble, he loves to do the things that crowds love to see. And I hope he can maintain that and doesn't get lost in trying to be something else for somebody else, another team, tactically or a adapting a different identity. He just has to stay strong on that. And interesting, a little one-on-one I had with him, we were going through some of his clips in the training, and, you know, I asked him, you know, how much do you reflect on your games? I'm just trying to learn about him. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't really look back at my games. And I love that.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to get paralyzed, you know, by the analysis, which can hold a lot of players back, what I've seen. So he's always looking forward to the next game. And,
right.
You know, while he's keen to take on information and support, he's got one of those mindsets where I think he knows what he wants to get out of a game, and he's that clear. And I think that's why we keep seeing for the Whitecaps this season, you know, there's moments in the game where he just delivers Alphonso. It's like Alphonso time for 5 minutes, and you're like, wow.
Yeah, it's incredible watching what he can do on the field, of course. So we're all excited to see what happens when he goes overseas to Bayern Munich. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges for you, of course, is being able to work with these club teams and being able to figure out how to go about, you know, bringing in these players. And you know, one of the other youngsters, Balú Tabla, is a guy, Barcelona's B team, and you were mentioning before to me about the challenge that you had with this guy clearly making a big personal decision and what he wants to do with his club career moving forward, but you're also trying to get him to play for Canada at the national level. You know, what do you think is the biggest challenge when you're trying to recruit people and wanting to get them to play for you?
I think it's multi-layered for each individual, really multi-layered. You know, for Balú, there was a number of factors that were influencing him at that time. Number one was he's just moved to the biggest club in the world,
yeah,
arguably. And he wants to make it there. And he has to put focus and attention on his day-to-day world. You know, he wants to be that guy that made it to Barcelona, not the guy that became a name that just never made it through the ranks there. So, you know, you've got to respect that. And I think the other thing is, these are big life decisions.
Yeah.
You know, to decide to play for Canada over the Ivory Coast, I mean, that's a big life decision for a young man. You know, imagine making that call at 18. Yeah, it's like Canada qualifies for Qatar, Ivory Coast didn't. Great decision.
Yeah.
If it goes the other way, you know, you're kicking yourself for years to come. So you imagine how hard that is. And I think it's just that little bit of empathy for how tough a decision is. For us, we were patient and, you know, we said we just want you to make the right decision for you, but we can give you some information about what our culture's like, you know, the young players in our culture, how you might fit into that. We can give you some information about how serious we are about 2022. Here's the plan. This is what it looks like and how that links to 2026.
Right.
So when we were able to put that roadmap out, I think, you know, he became clearer that, oh, this could be a journey I can be part of. And he could see the youth movement. And you know, being part of that group of players. Some, as you suggested before, he's played with at youth level. So that level of comfortability coming into a new culture. So, you know, I think it's not easy. I mean, people keep asking us about these other players overseas. You know, it takes time, and they have to come with a full heart.
Yeah.
You know, you can't have them coming half-hearted, that you've twisted their arms. They have to come with a full heart on this.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I mean, you want to be honest with them. You want to be upfront with them. You don't want to sell them something and then have to go a different direction, you know, down the road. You know, that's never a good look, of course. But, you know, you talk about the young guys that are coming through and the World Cup that's ahead in 2026. We're still waiting to see if Canada is going to get the automatic bid. Of course, how much is that something that you're selling, or is that just too far down the line that right now you're not too concerned?
Well, I think for young players, it's part of the conversation. It's part of a vision, but... You know, I'm not selling these guys anything. And the first thing I say to them, look, guys, if you're seeing this shirt as a stepping stone for your professional career, we don't want you.
Right.
Like, bugger off, go to another team. Yeah. It's that clear to us. Like, this is the highest honor for any player, for any athlete to represent that Maple Leaf. I've worked with a group of women who absolutely are clear about this being the highest honor. And I bring that to this culture, that sort of passion to say that it's what you can do for this shirt, not what this shirt can do for you.
Right.
And that was part of my conversation with every player I've spoke to, that this culture is special. It's unique. And I don't want a player coming half-hearted. So I'm not selling them 2026 or 2022. I'm saying to them, you can be part of something that changes our country forever.
Yeah.
By qualifying for 2022 and performing there, you will change this country forever. Do you want to be part of something like that? If you do and your heart's in it, come on. Come on board. If you're thinking about maybe Portugal or, you know, how much money you can get, bugger off. I don't want you.
Yeah.
I really don't want you. This country doesn't want you either.
Yeah. Well, if I was a 17-year-old soccer player, John, you just sold me. I'm coming to play for you just based off of that speech. But you talk about the culture, of course, that you created with the women's team. What did you learn in your time there that you've tried to bring over to now the men's program that you think would transfer?
Well, it has. It has been transferring. People have asked, you know, what have you done differently? Not a great deal. You know, the one thing I said I was going to do coming into this was be true to myself and true to the experiences, the processes that had led to success. I mean, it's a gender change. High performance is high performance.
Right.
You know, whether you work with Djokovic or Serena Williams, I'm not sure it's too different. The sport's the same. The tactics are the same. There may be some gender differences, but in terms of a process to drive human potential, to drive high performance, to build teams that can operate at levels teams haven't operated before. It's a process, and there's ingredients and formulas that I believe are gender neutral. Like you, it doesn't matter whether it's men, women, or aliens.
Yeah.
you can use these formulas to ensure that you get the best out of people. And that's what we've brought into the environment, and I think the men have responded well, that there isn't much I've changed.
Now, you've been on this job now for, what, 9, 10 months? Back in January, you took over. Has there been anything that surprised you about the job? I mean, it's not just the head coaching responsibilities you have. You have other stuff going on. I mean, you were mentioning to me before it came on, you were hanging out with the Whitecaps for a bit. I mean, you're looking at all these youth teams. It's busy times for you. I mean, there's never seemingly a day off for you. I'm sure you get some time off eventually. You get up pretty early from what you told me before. But, you know, has there anything that's kind of surprised you, or maybe that you weren't anticipating when you took over?
Yeah, I think the... You know, what we've done is just worked hard. We've set a precedent with how hard the staff I've got working around us, and you know, people at Canada Soccer, they work hard every day. It's a small business that has a big responsibility. But I think the biggest surprise is, like, you know, working on the women's side, it was more of a pure environment. And I think because we haven't had success, arguably, like World Cup success for 35 years, there's so much apathy.
Right.
So much apathy out there in people with strong opinions and almost negative people. And it's, you want to say to that group, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. We've got the World Cup in 2026. Things are changing. We're moving forward. Forget about that stuff. Drop your guards. Get on board and let's move forward together. But, you know, you try and move forward and you'll have people pulling here and pulling there. And, you know, that's been a big difference. There's a toxicity at times around the men's side that I didn't experience on the women's side. It was definitely a more purer and more fertile, you know, environment to grow. But then again, I understand why people are like that.
Yeah.
You know, if you haven't had success, it's hard to build trust. You win a medal in your first 9 months on the job,
right,
as a staff and a player group, you build trust and people start to go, okay, you're delivering.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the men's side, we have to start delivering. And I think, you know, landing the World Cup, the organization did, you know, bringing the Canadian Premier League on board, you know, the organization, the country is starting to deliver for football. So, you know, I'm just asking people to, you know, drop the axes and swords and get on board. And if you can't, then again, bugger off.
Yeah. Well, I think it says something for, you know, yourself, someone that wasn't born here. I mean, you see, you're very passionate about this. Obviously, you're right at the ground level of it, but you can see the potential and you can see, you know, what's coming down the line and you want people to get on board. So, you know, clearly that drives you and you want to have success here, but you mentioned wanting to deliver. Do you feel extra pressure with this men's team knowing that, you know, you're at the helm now? Like, obviously there's internal pressure. You want to perform well for yourself, but do you feel any external pressure from whether it's the media, fans, what have you?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, you know, anyone that works with us and knows us, you know, I'm just, you know, on a process. It's every day at the grinding away. I'm clear where we're heading. We are clear as a team now where we're heading and as an organization. So, you know, all the other stuff's clutter. We're just, you know, moving forward. And again, I'm just encouraging people to keep moving with us. And Dominica game, the fans out there, you know, let's fill this stadium. Let's be there for the first home match in the Nations League. Be there for the first step on this journey towards qualifying for the World Cup. And be that person that said, I was there. You know, when we took the first step at home, when we qualify for the World Cup, we want this country to connect around us.
John Herdman, head coach, Canadian men's national soccer team, joining us in studio here on the Jeff Blair Show. I'm Rob Wong, in for Jeff today. I'm a big stats nerd, so I love talking, whether it's baseball or hockey or whatever, getting into the numbers. And, you know, soccer, of course, a thing like expected goals or some of the deeper analytics, like how much do you dive into those as head coach? Do you concern yourself with those things? Is that just part of the information that you gather? Like, would you say that you're getting more into the numbers, or is that something that's not really part of your repertoire, if you will?
No, it's a big part. It's a huge part. You know, the metrics keep a level of accountability, but they also provide those staging posts, the direction towards what we would call consistent winning performances. So it's just nice and simple for me. You know, if you haven't got the metrics, how on earth can you account for a performance?
Yeah.
And the players are well aware our tactical identity is aligned to certain metrics that they have to push every game.
Is that a difficult sell for certain players? Do they have, like, is it a case where some guys just don't really concern themselves with that because it's too much information overload? Or do you think, you know, with younger players especially, that they're more receptive to the metrics, as you say?
I think it's a journey for the team. I mean, I've only had two camps with the players, so you have to be very careful with how you introduce this because you can't paralyze people
right
very quickly. So for me, it's the stats are, people can see the stats, but over a 3-year process, you start to integrate them into units, into individuals, and they start to see how each key stat that we have, how they align to that and take responsibility for it.
Yeah.
So, look, that's a long process with players
sure
to get them to a point where they take absolute ownership for what we would call consistent winning performances.
Yeah, and I guess on one hand, you know, it's great to be able to use the metrics to show someone that they need to work on a certain aspect of their game, but it's also great if somebody's having a tough time and you can bring in something to show that, hey, you know, it may not show on the stat sheet, but here with what we're looking at here, you're doing a great job And it can give people sort of some hope and some optimism moving forward. So it can kind of play many different roles in what you want to do.
Well, the first meeting we have, they'll see, you know, the stats from the last game. We have our identity and we have metrics around our identity. And they know if they're above or below the line in each of these identity areas. That's the first slide they see. Then the next slide they see is the momentum graph of the game. So they'll know that the momentum in the last game was in a big upward trajectory. There was no dips in that. But when we have dips against teams, then you can actually go to that piece of momentum in the game and say, right, guys, let's figure this out. We had a dip for 5 minutes. We lost momentum. What part of our identity was missing?
Yeah.
And what have we got to put attention to in their moments? And more importantly, what have you got to do?
You've been so gracious with your time. I got to ask you, though, one more thing. I heard a rumor you're a big – is it true you're a big pro wrestling guy or you followed pro wrestling? Is that true? You're smiling.
Back in the day, I was a bit of an Ultimate Warrior fan. Right. Maybe.
That's what I heard. I'm a big pro wrestling guy, too. I was born in 86, but I had a lot of VHS tapes and seeing some of the guys from the 80s. So Ultimate Warrior right up my alley as well. So you were pretty into it back in the day? Or?
Oh, man. Me, my little brother, and my granddad, it was one of the things on a Sunday. I'd sit on the chair with my granddad and we'd put the wrestling on, and he used to be a pro boxer and he used to say, turn this off, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. And we used to wind him up saying it's real. But the warrior, man, he was a legend.
Yeah, that whole era. I mean, the Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Macho Man,
Zeus.
Yeah, all of that stuff back in the 80s. Just larger than life characters. Definitely stands out to you. That is John Herdman. John, we appreciate the time. Good luck coming up on October the 16th.
Quality.
All right, there is John Herdman, head coach, Canadian men's national soccer team. You can get tickets for the game on canadasoccer.com. It is October the 16th. Canada and Dominica, CONCACAF Nations League qualifying at BMO Field.